right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. He's a retired MATC economics professor and former president of MATC Faculty and Union. You know, Dr. Rosen, I was talking about this on yesterday. In 20 states across the nation, the minimum wage is still $7.25. And that was raised from $5.10 back in 1992 or something, whatever it is. You and I are union men. And we do know that the importance of the unions, and the unions were destroyed intentionally. We see the outcome of what has happened since they've destroyed unions. And it was really the right, for the most part, who destroyed unions, Republicans who were opposed to it. But now you see all over the rural areas, Dr. Rosen, people who were blue when you and I were in the heyday of unions. You know where the Democrats were. The Democrats were in the rural areas. They were in the cities. They had this far reach because the rural areas knew that Democrats would fight for them, and they knew where their bread was buttered. But once the unions were destroyed, then many of the rural areas said the Democrats let us down. Mm-hmm. And so those people then turn to Republican.
Yeah.
And Dr. Rosen, and then I'll let you. But what I don't understand is the very people who helped destroy the unions now have benefited because the people who live in the rural areas who have lost things just like those of us who live in the cities, who lost our jobs. With all the industries that left the cities and with NAFTA, that impacted people in the cities as well as people in the rural areas. Now the rural areas have turned red.
Right.
What is your take on all of this?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the relationship between unions and inequality. If you go back to the 1920s, which is before large-scale manufacturing was unionized, we had... it's known as the Roaring Twenties, but
right.
We had tremendous inequality in this country, the kind of inequality we haven't seen until the present day. What happened in the 30s is that through a combination of organizing and the New Deal, in particular the passage of the National Labor Relations Act, also known as the Wagner Act, which said that employers are encouraged to engage in collective bargaining, you had massive organizing of manufacturing in this country. Locally, places like Briggs & Stratton, A. O. Smith, American Motors, you name it, all became unionized. It was called industrial democracy. And during the 30s and then the 40s and early 50s, in 1954, following World War II, we had the highest rate of unionization in the history of the country. About 35% of all workers in the country were unionized. It's a period that economists call the Great Compression. It was the period of the growth of the great American blue-collar middle class, where auto workers, steel workers, rubber workers, people who worked in basic industry could negotiate a fair wage, which meant that they could buy a home for the first
right.
time, because before World War II, most people did not own their own home. They could buy a car for the first time. They could get a vacation and have health care for the first time. All of these things were a result of unionization. And as a result, as I said, economists call this period the Great Compression, because it was a period when inequality declined the middle class grew. That began to reverse itself in the early 1970s, And and then beginning in the late 70s and early 80s, when with the Reagan administration going after the, essentially breaking the Air Traffic Controllers Union.
That was the beginning.
And here, you know, you worked at A. O. Smith in 1978. A. O. Smith shut down a plant when it went on strike in Granite City.
Right.
It opened up a plant in Tennessee in 1981, and began to ship jobs out. And A. O. Smith went from, you know, about 8,000 workers started to lose work. Now they didn't say they were union busting, but they started moving plants to, and it wasn't just those companies, but Briggs & Stratton did the same, and others. And you began to see the growth of inequality, and so that's clear that unions are good for ensuring or making sure that corporations share their profits with their employees. And when workers don't have unions, they are not able to ensure that that takes place. And now we're seeing the fruits of that with a tremendous growth in inequality in this country.
Well, you know, the paper mills, the rural areas, and all of that same thing.
So let's talk about the politics now. I mean, the facts that I just discussed are absolutely clear. And it was true in places like Appleton and Neenah and Green Bay and La Crosse and all over the country in similar blue-collar working-class towns. Youngstown, Ohio, for example, is a good example of that. Different places in Pennsylvania. These were all working-class towns, unionized.
Well, steel was
middle
king.
Class.
Right.
And with the decline, you know, with the decline, you had a growth in inequality. You also had a rise in blue-collar republicanism. And I think that in part that was because as the Republican Party was very sophisticated, and particularly Donald Trump was good at this, in speaking to the anger that people in those communities were feeling. They were misdirecting it. They were misdirecting it. In other words, when United States Steel shut down a plant in Youngstown, it wasn't black people, it wasn't immigrants who were responsible for that. But that's that. But people always, when they're angry, when they feel they're losing something, they look for a solution. And this was an easy solution. It's called scapegoating, and it's been effective. It's been effective in this country and many countries. In addition, and I think this is important, the Democratic Party didn't stand with unions and workers during that period. Rather, the Democratic Party adhered to what they call neoliberalism. Bill Clinton was the best example of it, focusing on reducing the deficit rather than helping to pass pro-union legislation. And as a result, a lot of people in those communities where they lost their jobs, they ended up working at minimum wage or in much, you know, losing a union job that in today's days might have paid $25 an hour and provided health care. They end up working at Walmart. Bill Clinton is the president. Bill Clinton is advocating NAFTA, saying it's going to be good for everybody. The Democrats passed NAFTA.
Bipartisan.
Yep. And as
agreement.
And as a result, people are like, the Democrats haven't been any good for us either. So they're very susceptible to the kind of scapegoating that particularly people like Donald Trump practiced. And as a result, you see that. Now, the other thing that's happened in the rural areas is that without the unions, and I don't mean just rural areas, but in these blue-collar communities like Racine and Green Bay, without the unions that played another role, not only negotiating good wages, benefits, and working conditions, but they also provided political education to their members. And now these people are not getting political education there. And there's one other factor, and that is radio, talk radio. There used to be a regulation on the books that equal time was required. They got rid of that in 1987. I believe it was 87 under Reagan. I forget, it was called a fair, it was the fair.
Fairness doctrine.
Yeah, the fairness doctrine. They got rid of that. And as a result, you had the growth of talk radio, people like Rush Limbaugh and Mark Belling.
Right.
And that was taking place simultaneously as people were adrift without unions providing them with political education. And so their education was coming from talk radio and from right-wing Christian ministers. And as a result, they moved way to the right.
Dr. Rosen, hold that thought. Our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. It's refreshing to have you here, Dr. Rosen, in the studio. We have so much in common, and especially what has happened to our country and the middle class. You chronicled what happened, and there are people who still don't know that. So I'm glad that we can have the discussion. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Dr. Michael Rosen. We'll be right back. You know, Dr.